Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, in July, the government published the National Hydrogen Strategy. This document outlines their plans to turn excess wind and solar energy into green hydrogen fuel. And while it's important to instigate plans to decarbonise our energy sources, the strategy has been getting some mixed reviews. Is hydrogen fuel the answer to all our energy problems, or should other avenues be explored before committing to just one source? Well, to discuss the feasibility of this strategy, I'm joined by Dr. Paul Dean, Senior Research Fellow at UCC, and also by Don Moore, former Managing Director with ESB International and Chair now of the Energy and Climate Action Committee with the Irish Academy of Engineering. Paul, I'll come to you first at UCC. Will you just give us the overview and the explainer on green hydrogen and what it is?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Well, hydrogen, it's all around us. It's one of the most abundant chemical substances in the universe. And I suppose what's helpful for this discussion, Claire, is to understand that hydrogen can actually be used to meet our energy needs. Now, there's a small element of almost back to the future with this, because if we go back to Ireland, back to the late 1800s, we were actually using hydrogen to meet our lighting needs in towns like Cork and Clonmel and cities like Dublin.
Thanks, everyone, for voting.
We were using it as a gas. Now, back then it was called a town gas. So we have been using it. The main difference really, Claire, if we fast forward now to the present, is that that town gas or that hydrogen back 150 years ago was produced from fossil fuels. And green hydrogen is almost the same thing. We can think of it like natural gas, but we can produce it from green and clean electricity. And that's the fundamental difference. And that's why hydrogen, I suppose, is getting a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement. Now, hydrogen does go through a lot of different hype cycles, typically after energy crises, but what the government are looking at here is producing green hydrogen from clean sources of electricity, so we can reduce our reliance on fossil fuels, which is a very good thing, and also reduce our climate pollution going into the atmosphere, which is also a good and very necessary thing.
Okay, so that all sounds very positive, but Don, who's sitting here with me in the studio, has concerns about all of this. Don?
I think it's too soon to actually say whether it can provide the benefits that Paul was suggesting. There are lots of problems with producing green hydrogen at in large volumes, which would be required to back up our electricity system. And I'll just mention a few of them. First of all, there's the problem of storage. The only proven way of storing green hydrogen is in salt caverns. And there are abundance of salt caverns across the continent of Europe. The geology goes right into the UK. It only touches Ireland in one place, and that's up at Island Magee in Strangford Loch. So,
storage.
So hydrogen is not like natural gas. It's a very tricky medium to actually handle, and it has. It can be mixed in with natural gas to a certain percentage in gas pipelines, but it's extremely corrosive. I think the storage issue has been addressed by the government, or some of their spokesmen. They've suggested it could be used, it could be stored in the depleted Kinsale gas field. That hasn't happened anywhere in the world. And the advice that we have from gas experts, including people who've developed Irish gas fields, is that it's unlikely to be a successful strategy. So storage is one huge obstacle. And the government strategy has also suggested that there was huge potential for an Irish export possibility with green hydrogen. That ignores the fact that we have the most expensive electricity in Europe, way more expensive than any other country. And it's very unlikely that there is any export possibility.
Because people have very high hopes for this, because we are told that coming on the way, we will have all of this wind energy and solar energy. And we're in a great spot to do that because we're an island situated as we are, and that we could be looking, you know, at a very positive future for Ireland. You're saying, hold your horses there now a minute. This mightn't be the magic bullet that we think it is.
It's an emerging technology. And our strong advice is that we should not commit to any particular technology. There are other ways of backing up our renewable energy electricity. We don't need to take any firm decision until the 2030s. The next 15 years, we should keep our options open. There are possibilities like small modular nuclear reactors. There are possibilities with batteries. There's the possibility of a European super grid. So we should not be pioneers. We have no track record whatsoever in pioneering technology.
Let's see what Paul has to say about that. Should we be hydrogen pioneers, Paul?
Well, I agree with Don there, Claire. You know, there is an element of managing our expectations here. You know, the hydrogen economy or the hydrogen future, it's not for today or tomorrow. We're looking at down the road between one decade and 15 years away. But we do need to start thinking about these options now. What we do know fairly with a high degree of certainty at the moment is that if we want to reduce our greenhouse gas pollution, the best way to do that in Ireland is by leaning into our renewable resources, producing as much clean electricity as we can from wind and sun. And we're very lucky that we have those resources there. Now, those things can do a lot, but they can't do everything. And this is fundamentally important. We know that wind and sunshine will probably get us to about 80% of where we need to be. So we need something else. And as Don said there, there are a number of options. Now, what makes hydrogen, I suppose, so compelling as a possibility for Ireland, it's not the fact that it's excellent or wonderful. It's often because the alternatives are worse or don't actually exist. So we can look at something like small modular nuclear reactors, which is it's very much in its conceptual phase, hasn't been trialled yet. That may be an option for the future. We can look at things like continuing using fossil fuels and capturing the pollution from that and putting it into geological storage. But all those options are very risky and, again, very, very challenging. And I think what the government are doing is correct. They're not saying that hydrogen is the answer. But it's a good question to ask, how feasible is it? What needs to be done to make us understand whether it can get us the rest of the way there, particularly because we know that wind and solar can't do everything. So I think it's the right thing to do, to look at it, to evaluate it. It's a really good idea, hydrogen, in many regards, but what's lacking at the moment is the evidence to show whether it's a really good idea or whether it's something that should be taken off the table.
So Paul is saying the government isn't closing down all of the other potential strategies.
That's not their rhetoric at the moment. And by the way, I agree with almost everything Paul said there. We need to, you know, move slowly on this. While participating at an international level in all types of research, and we've plenty of good engineers and scientists in Ireland that could take part in any research programs in Europe or internationally, and the picture eventually will emerge. Could I mention one other thing that the government should be concentrating on? So the plan is to actually build 10,000 megawatts of offshore wind, okay?
Yes.
And the transmission necessary to connect it, this 10,000 megawatt, to the grid. We haven't managed to build a transmission line of any significance for 20 years because of public and political opposition. So the first such, and this is what the priority should be right now. The first such project, which will go for planning this year, is the Dublin Array. That's a huge wind farm running from Dunleary to Greystones. Okay, these turbines will be 6 to 10 kilometres offshore. They'll be as tall as the Poolbeg chimneys, or even taller. And we will need transmission connections for those. Now, this will be the acid test as to whether the government are actually serious about implementing this renewable energy programme. Planning has to be simplified, and politicians in particular have to be held account. The very people who voted for the Climate Action Plan in the Dáil united with their opponents when any element of it appeared in their local constituencies. So that double think has to stop. So first of all, we must build the renewable energy, and I have to say it's that 10,000 megawatts is supposed to be built by 2030. I think there's very little chance of that actually being built by 2030, maybe 2035 if the government gets up off their hands at the moment. But we have a very poor track record, and all of this, including any hydrogen in the future, we will need to attract foreign direct investment to Ireland to do that. And at the moment, there's a lot of competition for this investment in the North Sea and places like that. And our record is poor and is seen to be poor internationally.
Paul, is there an opportunity for us here when it comes to any potential export market?
That needs to be understood really clear, you know, and I suppose we have to be careful, as Don said there, that, you know, the promise of a technological future can't be a distraction to the real significant problems that we're having at the moment. You know, we talk a lot about hydrogen, but again, we're looking at beyond 2035. But we must remember as well, Claire, that we're not the only country thinking about this, actually. There's countries like Chile, Australia, even Ukraine before the terrible invasion and the war. We're also looking at this idea for hydrogen for export. Now, thinking about producing lots of clean energy for export is a really good idea, but what's more important than that is you must have someone who's willing to buy it. And I think that's probably a piece of the puzzle that's missing at the moment at a political level and at a social level. We talk a lot about Ireland's potential for exporting energy, but we don't talk enough about the price, how much that is going to cost.
Yeah, and at the moment, isn't it the case that the hydrogen, the cost of purchasing hydrogen, that's similar to what you would pay for fossil fuels?
It's actually higher, to be honest, Claire, right at the moment. Now, we know that with the right technological development and if the cost of renewables keep on coming down, that the cost of hydrogen will come down. But hydrogen is never going to be a major part of a future economy. It's always going to be a secondary or a tertiary part. Electricity will dominate. But I think a lot more evidence and a bit of analysis has to be done, particularly on the market elements. If we produce this hydrogen here in Ireland, that's all well and good. But who's going to buy it? How much are they willing to pay for it? And look, we have about a decade to figure that out. And I think the strategy is correct in terms of identifying these possible opportunities. But we do have to maybe move from these paper opportunities. We probably do have to physically build one or two of these plants here in Ireland first at a small scale. There is an element of learning by doing that needs to be done before we commit to anything significant.
I'll have to leave that one there. Dr. Paul Dean and Don Moore, thank you very much for joining us. The Department of the Environment say hydrogen is just one part of future energy strategy, and it's for the longer term. It won't play a significant role to the mid-2030s, and they say it does have an important role to play beyond this as a long-duration store of energy to capture our renewable resources and help move towards greater energy independence. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.